It's time for another edition of This Day in History.
Isn't this just the same as It's a Great Day with Doug?
Well, someone died in this one.
What?
So it's less... it's less great. What? It's a great day with Doug. Mahatma Gandhi died on this day in 1948.
Oh, no.
You like that, Alice? Exactly. No. You can't use that.
Okay.
It's a great day with Doug. Orville Wright died on this day in 1948.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, same year. Yeah, they died in the same accident, actually.
What accident?
I'm just kidding.
A plane? Oh, plane. God.
No, Orville Wright died of a heart attack, and Mahatma Gandhi, of course, was assassinated.
Oh, my gosh. Did I know that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Wait, anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
That's not what we're talking about. This day in history. Again.
Ding, 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 ding.
On this day, that's enough. On this day in history, Oliver Cromwell.
Who gives a shit about Oliver Cromwell?
You don't even know who that is.
I've heard
of... Let me have this. You've heard of him?
Sure.
In 1661, Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of the Commonwealth of England.
The Commonwealth of England, yeah.
Scotland and Ireland. Was executed.
He was executed, yeah, I know.
By hanging in London and then thrown into a pit. His head was then cut off.
How? Who got into the pit and cut his head off?
God, they really hated this guy. His head was then cut off and displayed on a pole outside Westminster Hall for the next quarter century.
The 25 years?
Yes. They really hated
this
guy.
That's sick.
It was then owned by several people over history.
Like the cocaine bear?
Yes, it was like that. People owned this guy's head. It was owned until it was finally buried in 1960. People owned this guy's head until 1960.
What did he do?
I just
want, you know, other people to know.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll get to that, Alice, in just a second.
Okay.
But what's important is he was executed on this day in 1661 after dying 2.5 years earlier.
What?
Yes. He died of illness, but they hated him so much, they exhumed his body and executed him.
I know, it's crazy.
They hanged the man.
They hanged his corpse, threw him in a pit,
cut his head off, and displayed it. He was already dead for 2.5 years on his own.
Oh, my God. Was he just, like, yeah, how fast did people decompose?
Oh, I don't know.
Back
but
then,
man.
With their loamy soil.
He was pretty dead.
God, people were sick.
So he he had advocated for the execution of King Charles I in 1649, some 12 years before this. He was actually executed on the 12-year anniversary of Charles's execution by
thoughtful
Charles II,
uh-huh.
who had been exiled. Uh-huh. What had happened was Oliver Cromwell had taken over. When he died, his son Richard took over.
Oh, goodness.
But Richard was weak and sucked. So they got rid of him, brought in Charles II. Charles II was like, man, this douchebag killed my daddy. We need to execute this schmuck. And they're like, oh, he's already dead there, king. Oh, I don't care. Dig him up. I'll hang him.
These accents are actually authentic, you know, because they say the older British accents actually sounded more American, you know, the great vowel shift and...
Throw him in a pit! Cut his head off! Put it up there! 25 years! Kill that son of a... Kill him again! We're cats. No chipmunk's gonna bite on my knob. Hey, Alice.
Hey, Doug.
I'd like to start this episode with a birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you know that today is Gene Hackman's birthday?
I did not.
Gene Hackman, 94 years old today.
He's alive? Like, this is his living birthday, not a heavenly birthday?
It is his living birthday.
Okay, okay.
Gene Hackman, 94. When I found that out, I learned two things, Alice.
What? What did you learn?
I learned Gene Hackman is older than I would have thought
okay.
he was, 94.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Hackman is aliver than I would have thought he is.
Oh, like he's doing really well?
No, I also thought he was dead.
Oh.
No offense to Mr. Hackman. I'm glad you're alive, sir.
Is he doing well?
I don't know. He wrote a novel back in like 2012 or something like that.
Really?
2011.
Huh.
And apparently it did pretty well.
Huh.
So I don't know if he's still doing that.
About the making of Hoosiers or something?
No, it was a novel. I guess he could fictionalize it.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't believe the alien massacre that had to happen throughout Indiana to make this possible.
The crop circles, yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So Gene Hackman.
He hacked the non-man.
Speaking of Hackmans, I did some additional research for this episode,
additional
Alice.
Additional research?
Yeah, I was like...
Not even for it went terribly?
Not even for it went terribly, huh, no. Huh, huh. I says to myself, Doug, this is the end of another month that I'm alive somehow.
Oh, geez.
What happened on January 30th in history, you know, and it turns out January 30th, 1982, Mr. Richard Skrinta wrote the first PC virus code.
So this was 2 weeks after you were born?
1 week.
Oh.
It's been 1 week and 32 years, 42 years.
So of like the one of those pop-ups?
I'm sorry?
Those pop-up viruses, and you have to close the windows, but they just keep generating?
Oh, I don't know. It was 400 lines long and disguised as an Apple boot program called Elk Cloner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was 15 years old at the time.
What? Oh, my God.
As a 15-year-old, make the first virus.
It's like War Games. You know, that Matthew Broderick movie? Kids doing the terrorism?
War Games.
NORAD.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of war games, Alice, also on this day in history, thank you for leading me into these.
You're welcome.
Also on this day in history.
Unplanned.
In 1648, Alice.
That's a long time ago.
The 80 Years' War ended.
80 years? Was it literally 80 years?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm, so, you know, it had to end. It had run its course.
They named it that at the beginning.
Yeah, somewhere around years 27, 28. Like, what are we even fighting for? I don't remember. But it was decreed. The Netherlands and Spain were just like, I don't want to fight you anymore. We're friends, right? No, you must die because we have decades more of this to go. It was the Treaty of Munster and Osnabrück.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
Right? I've never had Osnabrück, but I bet it's a good cheese. You know? And I'd love to have the treaty of them combined.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It took 80 years to make that cheese.
Treaty yourself.
Oh, my God. So that ended the conflict between the Netherlands and Spain.
Who won?
Who won? I'll tell you who won, Alice. The viewer. That's who won.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's some long-term quality storytelling, you know? Good television for generations of audience members. 80 years. That's good story.
Okay, okay. The
dominated the airwaves.
Young and the Restless, they got nothing.
Exactly. You didn't lead me into any more history
facts.
Sorry. So,
dropped the ball on that one.
So, what you got going on,
I'll just
Alice?
Talk about random things. Crackers? Does that lead into anything?
Crackers? let me look at my list. Well, in 1933, Adolf Hitler was formally appointed as Germany's new chancellor. Noted racist. Noted cracker Adolf Hitler, formally appointed as Germany's new chancellor.
I meant saltines or club.
Oh, clubs. Speaking of clubs. I don't have anything for that. I'm sorry.
Damn, that would have been funny.
Yeah. Do you have a story about crackers?
No.
You were really just naming random things.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for trying. Mm-hmm. But tell me about your life.
Well, I have been doing something cute lately.
Well, aren't you full of yourself? Is this just another phone app game?
No.
Okay.
I've been recording an audiobook, of course.
Yes.
It is a mid-grade book. So, like, yeah, middle school.
That means, oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, eh, it's fine, I guess. This book's all right. I don't know. It's mid-grade.
It's called Summer at Squee, S-Q-U-E-E, written by Andrea Wang.
Okay.
And Squee, actually, it's an acronym. I'm not sure what it stands for. But it's about a Chinese heritage summer camp for, like, middle school kids.
Oh!
Yeah! And it's super cute because I went to these summer camps when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back on the East Coast in the Washington, D.C. area, there's a large Asian population of, you know, kids from middle to high school who go to Chinese school every Sunday.
Mid kids.
We were very mid. No, we weren't.
Mid-grade
kids. We were affluent kids.
Whoa. Well, you can be affluent and still be, you know, immigrants. Just kind of mid.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Immigrants. They get the job done.
Anyway, so the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, we had the Washington Metropolitan Area Chinese School Summer Camp at Frostburg University. So we were there for like a week or 2 weeks and, you know, doing Chinese cultural things like learning ribbon dance and kung fu.
Sure.
And my favorite thing was the Chinese yo-yo. And calligraphy and all that stuff.
Yes, yes.
And my mom wanted me to go like the first year. And I was like, I don't want to go. I hate Chinese school. Blah, blah, blah.
I wanted to like suggest some other things you may have done there. But everything I could say sounded like it was going to be racist. Like accidentally.
What would you want to learn at a Chinese cultural camp?
No.
What?
You know, like, did you learn how to use a wok?
We didn't have cooking lessons.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
Is there a special way to use a wok that I don't know about?
I mean, I've never used a wok.
Oh.
So I don't know. Or a rice cooker. I'm not making jokes.
I don't
think
we have to learn how to use a rice cooker.
I've never used a rice cooker.
Oh, I have one. You can try it.
I'll try it out.
We learned how to like fold dumplings.
There you go.
That's a cute little thing.
Yeah, see, that's one I guess I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah. So, yeah, my first year, I was like, I don't want to go. And then when I went, it was so fun. I made a bunch of friends.
Okay.
And then I kept going for like maybe 5 years up until high school. But anyway, so this book is about, you know, kids' experience going to this Chinese summer camp.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Is that why you picked it?
No, they approached me about it.
Oh, wow.
And they couldn't have possibly known I went to camp.
You've talked about it on the podcast.
No. Have I?
Yeah, it's been a while, but you talked about how good you were at the yo-yo.
Yes, I won.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I won the yo-yos.
Uh-huh, and
yeah.
Then you didn't try it again. You were like, I've already dominated this. No, thank you. Going out on top. It's like the thumb wrestling thing.
Yes, you. Yes. You went out on top, because I always won, and I let you win that one time, and so that
you
go out on top.
You did not let me win. You did not let me win. I dominated you one out of the 127 times. Alice and I used to thumb wrestle quite a bit.
And now we don't anymore.
She would beat me every single time. I won once fair and square, and I retired.
And I have not challenged you. I've graciously decided that. Anyway, so the author, I assume the author's about my age, but she has kids, and I think she's writing from her Gross. Experiences of her kids going to this camp,
uh-huh.
And they live, I think, in the Boston, New England area,
uh-huh.
And I guess an angle of this book is that there are adoptees from China at this camp with white parents, so when they go to this camp, they feel very left out because they don't feel culturally Chinese. They've grown up as white Americans, essentially. And so all these other Chinese school kids, they're using Mandarin around them, and they don't understand, and they...
Mandarin? More like, I don't understandarin. That's how I show that I'm paying attention.
I wish that joke was in the book.
You could just ad-lib it. You ever ad-lib in your books?
No. Well, like sometimes I do. If a character laughs, you know, I'll try to do a laugh or a gasp or a sigh. But sometimes if I'm working with a publisher, they would prefer just to go by the narration.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like,
so no ad-libbing.
So like, if it just says, and then Molly laughed, you can't be like, ha, 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 that's hilarious.
I don't think I can add that that's hilarious.
Dang it.
But I might be able to do a,
I would.
There was one book where, you know, someone was saying, hello, and they're snapping. And I did that. I was like, hello.
McFly.
And I don't know if they'll cut it out or not. But, you know, it's like ask forgiveness instead of permission. So
absolutely. What are they going to say? Re-record this part? Don't snap?
Actually, yes. Yeah, that's what they would ask for, a pickup. But yeah, so this book, it goes into, yeah, really interesting cultural identity shifts.
Sure.
And the lives of these adopted kids, because they're constantly caught between cultures. And, you know, other Chinese people see them and think that they should learn their culture, but they don't feel like it's their culture.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really complex stuff that I don't think I dealt with much when I was a kid. Maybe at least 20 years ago, there weren't as many multiracial or adopted kids at the camps that I went to. But I can imagine that shifting now.
Okay.
Unless I was completely unaware back then. And I might have alienated, you know, some of these new friends.
Yeah, you were too busy yo-yoing to really catch the subtleties of what was happening.
Right, yeah. But yeah,
look at me fold these dumplings. Y'all
so
suck.
Good. I've already done this before.
Y'all are extra mid. I'm just regular mid. Maybe even upper mid.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But when I've been recording this book like every other day, like Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Sure.
And last week at school, there was a water shortage in my building, or an outage rather, a water outage.
Okay. That makes more sense than a water shortage. Like we're not in LA or something. Keep your showers to a minimum.
Yeah. So I was being remotely directed on this, and I was like, I think I need to go fill up my water bottle, but there's a water outage, so I don't have regular water, so I'm going to run upstairs and grab one of my sparkling waters. And then my director was like, I can't drink sparkling water when I'm recording. I'll burp too much.
Yeah.
And I already burp so much
right
during recording, and it's like all recorded.
Y'all should hear all the burps we edited out of this thing.
So like the
and
editors.
My farts, but luckily my butt mic is turned way down.
A specialty butt
so
mic.
You don't have to worry about that as much. Mm-hmm. Well, I talk out of my butt a lot.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, and the editors have to listen to all my burps and whatever's, but I always say excuse me.
That's polite of you.
Yeah. And then I was like, nah, maybe I'll go downstairs to the vending machine and get vending machine water. But,
oh, no.
But that was so expensive. It was like $2.25 a bottle. And it was so cold.
Be cheaper to buy your own vending machine in the long run. Did you think about like Instacarting like a case of water?
Would that have been a better deal?
Probably. It depends on how long the water was out, I guess.
All told, it might have been out for 2 hours.
Oh,
and
that's
so,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, so some students were still in the building going to classes, but I feel like a lot of them cleared out because they couldn't use the restrooms. The toilets wouldn't flush.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was there for maybe like 6 hours that day. And
but it was only out for 2 hours?
About.
Okay,
yeah.
So you could just hold it.
But when I'm recording, I drink so much water that I'm peeing constantly. So I went and kind of claimed a stall of my own that I would keep going back to and just peeing on top of my pee.
Oh, my God.
And I was hoping that no one else would come in and pee on my pee,
pee on
in
pee.
Case it splashes on my taint. So
okay, so you were nervous not about them peeing on your pee, but about you peeing on their pee that had been peed on your pee. I think I tracked that.
One take.
you got a nice pee sandwich. Ooh.
Ice pea sandwich.
With some mashed potatoes on there?
Oh,
peas. I'm thinking about the vegetable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Icy peas.
What?
Icy peas, like frozen peas.
Insane clown posse? That's nothing to do with anything. Get out of here, Violent J. And
if you have a frozen thing in a sandwich, it's crispy, like a chip in a sandwich.
I don't want the peas to be frozen. I want them to be warm.
Anyway.
I always want my pea to be warm, Alice.
So, like, all the stalls, like, okay, so I went back to that one stall a couple times, and then maybe by the third or fourth time, like after some classes had let out,
sure,
every stall had pee in it, and it was smelling, you know, oh, it smelled like urine, you know.
Sure. Absolutely. So you kept buying bottles of water. You mm-hmm. couldn't just use those, you know. Just pee in the bottle. Just pee in the bottle. You can close it up, throw it away. We're done here. Okay.
That sounded very casual.
It's not that big of a deal. Or lock the door, get up on there, pee in the sink. That just goes right down the drain.
That's true.
You have no way to rinse away the smell and everything, but nobody will ever know.
Nobody will ever know.
Nobody will ever know. If you can get up there. You could take a chair in there and find a way. As long as you could lock the door, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just go out back. Come on, if you're in a
I don't know if there's an out back out at the Orr Center. It's just hedges.
Is there an out back at this college?
Well, yeah, there's like a loading area like near the Arts Center when they bring in like visiting exhibits and sculptures and things. Okay. That's kind of outback-ish. Sure.
There should be a rule where, a law even.
Or there's Burdett Trail. That's out in the woods.
Oh, it's far, though. There should be a law where if you are in a public building, a professional building, whatever, a commercial building, and the water is out, then you're allowed to just pee outside. Like, because it's just like being in the country. You can pee outside in the country. It's fine.
Who gets to pee outside?
Oh, everybody!
No, it's unfair. Like, men can pee outside with impunity.
You could do it if you want. I mean, it's a little...
I don't think that's true.
It's difficult for
I
you.
I want to, but I don't think I can.
I want to! It is hard to, like, do the proper squat and everything without peeing on your pants, probably.
Right, I'd have to take off my pants!
Oh, that's absurd. I'll come with you and I'll hold your hand and help you squat. It's absurdity.
With my taint just blowing in the wind.
Stop saying taint.
You guys can do it without dropping trow.
Okay.
I'll just wear a skirt. It's fine.
Taint in the wind. Alice has her taint blowing in the wind. You sing a different song?
Yeah.
Did you say taint on me?
Mm-hmm.
Some.
I said taint me out, but I meant taint me on.
Taint me out.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one too.
Is this just the taint song mashup? Taint misbehaving.
That's a good one.
I hate when my taint is misbehaving. Taint no sunshine when she's gone.
This reminds me of that game we've played.
What game?
Where we sing the first word of a song.
Oh, have we played that on here before? Have we introduced the masses?
I don't know. But we played it a bunch with Jenny and Josh on our recent
trip. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. We'll explain the game, play a quick round, and then then you guys can play it at home. You understand? So the game is, it's, you know, you determine your points, but...
there are no points.
Whatever, Alice! Like, I would sing the first word of a song, and that's all that Alice gets. And then if she can figure out what the song is, then I get a
that's
bunch.
That's how it's done.
I get a bunch of points. Now, if... Or I could sing the first word of the chorus, and then if Alice gets the song from that, I get fewer points.
But sometimes the chorus is the beginning of the song.
Oh, that's that counts as the beginning of the song, so that's a bunch of points. And you know, if you need a second word, then whatever, but you only get 1 point for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how many you get.
Sometimes you go to 3 words, but sometimes by the third word, it gives away the song.
Yeah, yeah. Then you sacrifice your points to Morgan Freeman. You go ahead and give us one, Alice. Give us an example.
Watching
every motion.
Oh, that's how it's done.
Yeah, that would be Berlin with Take My Breath Away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll give
that's
you
a unique starting word too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of songs just start with you.
That's a great point. If you have a song that starts with a very common word, you, I, the, etc., those are worth even more points.
What?
No, because, those are right. Because they're so hard to get.
I see.
They're okay. so hard to get.
Yeah, this should have been easy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you gotta have to you have to have the flavor, you know, of the song. I don't know if I quite got there, but
you got me there.
Okay.
That's all that matters. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll do one real quick, and then okay. You all, you know, then you could turn this off, go play. Go play with your family. Come back later, report back to us how it was, and listen to the rest of the episode. Okay, here's mine. That was the word wood for the record.
In the flavor of...
Did you get it already?
Of course. You're always Enrique.
Shut up! A, B, E.
Always be Enrique.
Yes.
Would you dance? Why do I sound like, I don't
if
know,
I asked
like a
dance.
Muppet on the balcony?
I can be your hero, babe. Oh, yeah. That's later on, but you get it. You get it. There you go. There you go. Play with your friends. It's called First Word Only or something. I don't know. One word song game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Et cetera, et cetera. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So on the way back from St. Louis, we played this game for like nearly the whole time.
Yeah. I think about 2 hours of four people just doing this, doing it, and doing it well.
You did a really good one. Like you capture the flavor of, oh, yeah. Do you remember?
I don't remember. Go ahead and tell me.
Well, you should do it. Okay, I'm going to whisper it to you.
Okay, just tell me. I'll edit it out. Okay. Tell me what it is. We can edit, but I'm gonna be transparent with people. Alice,
okay,
we're gonna.
All right.
Okay, Alice, just tell me what it is. Here we go.
I want you to know.
There we go. That's worth a whole bunch of points. Because it's just the word I.
Mm-hmm. But you did it with that Alanis breathy. Yeah,
oh, there
breathiness.
It is.
Yeah.
I.
It's not sexual.
I.
It can be.
No, it has to be angsty.
I.
Nope.
I.
No.
I.
Well, that was the wrong pitch.
I can't stop.
So.
I can't stop saying I.
I.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Hey, it's a great day with Doug, Alice.
Oh, yes?
Yes. And do you want to know why it's a great day with Doug?
Why?
Because today is National Plan for Vacation Day.
Another one? We had vacation at home.
Speaking of planning for vacations, that's how it's done. We recently went on a trip to St. Louis.
Yeah, for Doug's birthday.
Missouri, with Josh Weiland.
Who called it that?
I don't know. Josh Weiland and Jitty Adams. Yeah, we had a great weekend. I made some notes so we don't spend forever on it. But do you want me to hit my notes? And if you have anything
sure.
to add, you
mm-hmm,
can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing we did, we got into town. We went to a restaurant called The Gramophone.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful sandwich gourmet sandwich bar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Doug doesn't go to bars. So the
bars.
Sandwiches will have been really good for Doug to go.
Great grammar. Must have been
It's called Gramophone.
Sorry. That's hilarious. They were enticing.
Yes.
Is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they were delicious. Alice and I split five different
halves
sandwiches.
Yeah, just halves of
halves,
sandwiches.
Halves.
The haves and the have nots.
And my note that I have on here is that one of our sandwiches had jalapeno popper soup on it.
It was weird. But even
it was my favorite. It was
right,
my favorite
even
sandwich.
If there were weird sandwiches, we were like, this is my least favorite, but I still love it. Like, that's how good all their sandwiches were.
That was my favorite of the five.
And
also, I had, like, spicy corn chips.
That was my least
chips.
Favorite, but I still loved it.
Had spicy corn chips on it. Mm-hmm. Y'all, just go to Gramophone. They're open forever.
What do you mean?
They close at like 1:30 a.m.
Oh, late night eats?
Yeah, you can get a sandwich as late as you want.
There was a DJ there, too.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You love your DJs.
This one seemed like more of an artistic kind of DJ, not like a dance scene kind of DJ.
Okay, so when you and Jenny went to see a DJ recently...
We didn't go see a DJ.
But
the
sorry.
DJ came to us.
Sorry, when you... Oh, wow. DJ House Call. Yo, 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 it's DJ House Call!
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna set up in your den. Point me to your family room. Y'all using this ottoman? DJ House Call. So stupid. Trying to watch Wheel of Fortune here, DJ House Call. what was I saying? Oh, yeah, you and Jenny went to listen to a DJ or whatever. Mr. DJ Dannon Gunnan. So this guy was more artistic. He was
We didn't stay for too long, but he didn't seem to be playing songs for the crowd. He seemed to be invested in his craft.
Yes.
Yeah, he was playing more like 90s hip-hop and weaving beats.
Weaving beats. Mm-hmm. DJ House Cole!
Weaving them beats!
Put down that clicker. I'm doing something. So then we went to bed. We had our sandwiches, went to the Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Took ourselves a little evening siesta.
You guys watched a lot of Family Feud.
You want to get into that?
I didn't think there was much to get into.
Oh, I had Family Feud on this list.
Okay.
So at the Airbnb, we turned on the free television at the Airbnb. There's a station on, I think it was Pluto TV, that plays nothing but Family Feud.
Oh.
Classic Family Feud.
Oh.
So, yeah, Jenny, Josh, and I watched a lot of Family Feud. Started off with Jenny and me, because everybody else was sleeping. And
I shower at night.
That's true.
So I was indisposed.
Mm-hmm. So as you all may know, from the late 70s to the mid-80s, Richard Dawson was the host, and he just kissed everybody. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, every woman, I should say. He wasn't going to kiss no man. This was the early 80s. Mm. Those kind of things were frowned upon. TV show game hosts kissing men. But he kissed every woman, like at least once.
At least!
On the lips! On the lips, mind you, in case you don't know. Just constantly kissing women on the lips. Mm. How you doing, sweetheart? What do you think? Animals that live in trees. Good luck. She's like, squirrel. Squirrel. Show me squirrel. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, great job. There was also a moment where, okay, when it was just Jenny and me watching, Richard Dawson called up from the audience. He said, well, we have a very special guest here today. We have a very special guest. This little lady, and it was a 10-year-old girl, comes up to the stage. And he says, oh, this little lady came here from, I don't know, Iowa or something. I don't know where she came from. He says, welcome to the show. We're really glad you're here. And the whole time, Jenny and I were like, don't you dare. Don't you dare, Richard Dawson. And I was like, he's going to at least kiss her on the top of the head. And I don't like that. I don't like that. He did not kiss her on the top of the head. Thank goodness. He did kiss her on the lips, though. He just kissed this little 10-year-old girl on the lips.
You don't like the head kiss? Is that condescending?
It was a... I mean, I don't want him to kiss just some random girl.
Lice outbreak.
Yes, I don't... I didn't want his lips to get lice,
I
guess.
Lice was hot in the 80s.
Miami Lice. I have a little bit more on Family Feud, if you don't mind. So, we did a little research, and we found out that they would do, according to the book Outrageous, A History of Showbiz and the Culture Wars, author Cliff Nesteroff says it got to the point where there were mandated herpes tests backstage for contestants.
Mandates.
Yeah. Mandates. The herpes tests.
The benefit of whom?
I guess everyone. Or you could just not make out with the women, Richard Dawson. But if you're wondering, Alice, if this story has a happy ending, you are in luck, because it does.
No.
I wish it didn't, but it does. In what? 1981.
He died of herpes?
Oh my God, that's not a happy ending. When has...
I thought you meant it was happy because he got his comeuppance.
Whoa. I mean, it's not like the worst thing anyone's ever done.
Okay, that's fair.
Yes.
What's the worst thing a cracker has done?
Oh! We are on the crackers today. In 1981, he kissed a woman in a family who would eventually become his second wife.
Aww.
Yeah.
He kissed that feels her, like grooming.
He kissed her 4 times total during the episode.
Courting.
Couldn't keep his hands off her.
Oh, my God.
And they were eventually married.
Do you think that was the soft launch? Wait, a hard launch. Maybe they were already together, and that's how she got on the show, and that's how they eased it in. Oh. You know, like Taylor Swift showing up at Travis Kelce's football game. They'd already been together for a while before the hard launch.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the story is that after the episode, he asked her if he could call her.
Oh,
so
okay.
It appeared to be the...
That worked in the 80s.
The hard launch.
Mm-hmm. So it was a soft launch.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he was hard the whole time. I mean, he was only 49 at the time, so, you know, most guys are still hard around that time. And she was 24.
Grooming.
Yep. If you want more of
a
happy
ending.
This
is not a happy ending.
He got married. They stayed married until his death.
So around did Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart.
Okay, well. By all accounts, she was a happily married woman who was happy and married.
That's the only way women could be happy in those days.
Yes. When he returned to host Family Feud in like 1994 for 1 year, he returned. Mm-hmm. He did not kiss women.
Oh.
And they asked him why, and he said that he had a daughter, and he promised his daughter that he would only kiss mommy.
Oh.
So that's kind of cute. I mean, that's kind of cute.
So it's not about respecting women, but just yes, in general, you know,
true.
Just I've got chains on my old lady now, so.
Wow. Way to hijack the St. Louis story, Richard Dawson. Anyway, so our second day in St. Louis. Our first full day, we get up and we head to St. Charles, Missouri.
For Brazilian Steakhouse.
Yeah. Went to
Churrasco.
Yeah, we went to... Oh, you pronounced it right. Mm-hmm. Very well done.
Mm-hmm. They have that on their website.
We went to Tucano's.
Not Tucano's?
No.
Oh.
It's a Spanish or Brazilian or something for toucan.
Toucan what?
Oh, my God. And the note I made on Tucano's was pineapple.
Yes.
If you want to go with that story.
So yeah, if you've gone to Brazilian steakhouses before, the churrasco service, they bring meats out on swords. Like they're roasting the meats on the swords, and then they bring them out and they carve them at the table, and you have to take tongs and like pick up the meats. But this place was really cool in that they didn't just have cuts of beef and pork and chicken, they also had pineapple.
Yeah.
On a sword.
Yeah.
A grilled pineapple on a sword. It was so cute.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. It's a nice change of pace, but I didn't know just how great it was going to feel in my mouth in between all those meats. You laugh, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
it was,
yeah, yeah.
Because,
you know, some
perfect.
Of the other, yeah, some of the other places we've gone to, like, they seasoned the meats, like, very salty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super delicious, but at some point, we just felt like, you know, a slug.
Yeah.
Soaking up that salt.
Yeah. At some point, it stops being as delicious just because we've had so much sodium. But this, those little pineapples.
Little palate cleanser.
Yep,
they also
yep.
had like grilled fish and little like vegetable kebabs.
Oh, my God. Way to go, Tucano's.
Cute, cute, cute.
And much more inexpensive than the other Brazilian steakhouses we've been. That's proper grammar. Come on. Don't you be calling the gramophone on me. Quick, grammar man, to the gramophone.
The gramophone booth where he rips off his shirt. And
yes.
Costume change.
He rips off his shirt and his pants, hopefully not damaging his colon or his semicolon.
Bah!
It's the best I got on short notice, okay? Then we left Tucano's in St. Charles and headed for historic downtown St. Charles, Missouri.
And that was super cute.
Yes.
They had like cobblestone streets, little shops.
Yeah, it's just a long line of old-timey shops and...
There was the English shop, which did not have the P-E at the end. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
And I kept... And the shopkeepers, I was listening for an accent. They did not have British accents, but I wasn't quite sure if I wanted them to have British accents or not.
Okay.
Like, would it have been too on the nose? Like, what are you doing in bumfuck St. Charles? Mid.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But then when they didn't, when they seemed like they were from St. Charles, I was like, what, am I disappointed? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I was, but
I think the part of me that would have been disappointed if they had been from England would have been them having to deal with all these tourists
right.
coming
yeah,
in
yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
this is my heritage.
Oh, talk for us in your funny accent.
Yes, exactly. But it was a great time in historic downtown St. Charles. Tons of shops, tons of stuff to do. I would recommend it wholeheartedly to anyone in the St. Louis area.
So do you think it's cultural appropriation if it's people just from St. Charles?
You're stuck on this English shop, aren't
now
you?
Now I'm really stuck.
I mean,
they have heritage there, yeah.
The fact that that's the closest thing to the United States, like, I think it's okay.
What is... Oh, British.
England.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
I guess where we came from and all that. And I mean, winning the war, I think...
Gives us the right
to do whatever we want. Those were the terms.
What are you going to do? We're all the way over here.
Yeah, you going to take your little ship over here? Come on, redcoats.
Come back home, America.
No, make us.
There's not enough room over there. Good Lord. All right. And then we went to Clementine's, of course, the Naughty and Nice Creamery, as we always do when we're in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to speak more on that. Just go if you're in St. Louis. Wonderful ice cream. Then we went to the AEW, All Elite Wrestling Collision Show.
Yes, that's why we went in the first place.
Had a wonderful time. It was my birthday trip. Got to see a lot of fun wrestling.
There's a real chatty guy behind us, though.
It's true. If you're listening to this, what? Come on, man.
He's listening to us.
3.5 straight hours of that guy. Couldn't have possibly talked louder.
Yeah, he had such a resonant voice. Like, honestly, he had a very nice voice, I thought. Like,
it was
for radio,
a really nice voice,
you know?
Yes. He wasn't even, like, extremely obnoxious. He just would not shut up.
Yeah.
And occasionally was obnoxious.
Yeah. Like, he said, most of the things he said, you know, were fine.
Yeah. He was trying to explain, like, he had some friends that were with him who had never seen wrestling before.
And so he was very passionate about
it.
Yeah.
He saw some people to his right who, like, it was their first time. They didn't know anything.
Oh, I thought they were all friends.
No. There were some people to his right who, they said, like, through work, they had some tickets. And so she decided to bring her kid. And he was like, oh, well, if you have any questions, just ask me. I'll be glad to answer your questions. I love doing that. I love explaining it. And I appreciate that. But, my God, the volume. both, like, the sound volume and the amount.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once or twice he said some wrong things. And
that's true.
We were like side-eyeing ourselves like, oh, that's not right. But then I didn't
incorrect things.
Oh, yeah, incorrect
things.
Okay,
I thought you meant wrong things, like when he would, just for no reason, comment on women's bodies and stuff. Because he'd be all like into the men. And every now and then he'd say something nice about a woman that was like about her wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time when it was a woman in the ring, he's like, yeah, here comes what's her face. She's extremely hot. Yeah, I like her body a lot.
Her body of work.
Those are very nice breasts. Check those out, kid. That's what you get for watching wrestling. Bend over. That's a good butt. Good butt on that one, Sam.
Yeah, so I feel like I didn't want to... You know, sometimes we go to these things and we have a bit of chit-chat with the people around us. I made a joke one time and the people around us laughed. I felt pretty cute there.
Absolutely.
And I didn't think I could get into a fun conversation with this guy. Like,
exactly.
well, actually, blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't tell what kind of confrontation it would have been.
Right.
Yeah.
You could not well actually him. There's no way. He knew he was an expert on everything. Like, I've been to wrestling shows. Like, he's not the worst person. I've been there are, you know, just obvious bigots and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I don't need that in my life. So, like, all in all,
we
not bad.
Obvious bigots.
Like, it wasn't that bad. It was just a lot.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Anyway, He at least had some nice things. I go back to the woman thing, and I got really nervous. I do a lot of times. They have a transgender wrestler in AEW, which is, you know, it's great. And mm-hmm. not really anything they even address, because it's just a normal thing. Mm-hmm. But some wrestling fans, wrestling has this roots and this macho thing. So I was nervous when she came out. But he was very supportive of her.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So good for you, sir. Good for you.
If you're listening out there,
yes.
Come join us on the show. You have a great radio voice.
Oh, my God. I could take that episode off, honestly.
Wait, what?
I could take that
episode. Oh, oh. You wouldn't want to host it with him?
I wouldn't get to talk much. Let me tell you about these microphones you guys are using. I mean, they are really top notch. Alice, your breasts look very perky today.
Yeah, I've got these new nipple covers today. And,
oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, 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 stop talking to him about your nipples.
Oh, that was you? That sounded like him.
anyway, and then we got done at the AEW show. Hit up the gramophone again.
You're addicted to gramophone.
It's great, Alice. We got it for takeout this time.
Kinda what nice. If we go back to St. Louis in April?
Okay, this is after all, National Plan for Vacation Day.
Yeah, because I've got an English conference there for the STD, Sigma Tau Delta, the English Honor Society.
That's not as cool.
Yeah. So there is that conference. You can come with me.
Oh, well, maybe. Could we go to St. Charles and hit up all the shops?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then, you know, very strong possibility. That'd be pretty cool.
I'm going to want to do some Richie things, though.
You would. I'm down here being below mid-grade, and you're like, you're premium.
No, it's just, there's things that I have to do, which, okay, so part of it we did.
We'll get to that, I'm sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll get to that, we're almost there. I forgot I have one note made about each place, and for AEW Collision, my note was Jack Cartwheel. This is all you need to know, everyone. It's a professional wrestler, and nearly every single thing he does
has a cartwheel in it.
Yeah. It's just cartwheels. And I know what you're thinking.
Like the gymnastics move, not a prop.
Sure, sure. I know what you're thinking. That sounds dumb.
Yeah.
It is kind of, but it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he could turn a cartwheel into anything, and he could turn anything into a cartwheel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's great. It's great viewing. If you look up on YouTube, Jack Cartwheel wrestling match, whatever, you'll find something out there, and you'll be like, huh,
I didn't know how a cartwheel could. Yeah,
What an interesting gimmick. So that was the end of Saturday. Sunday, we got up and we went to the City Foundry.
Oh yes, the food hall.
We had things such as toasted ravioli and jerk chicken and.
I had avocado toast.
There you go.
Richie Rich.
So then we left the City Foundry, head on it over to the St. Louis Science Center.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah, we spend forever there.
We spent forever. But we got to hang out with chickens and learn about plants. We honestly learned too much about plants.
I had a really great pun.
That's true. Let's see if the people laugh.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So there was a diagram of like soil, and they have like levels of the soil, and one was like the E horizon, one was the D horizon, and the next one, I was like, hey, what's chorizo doing here? And then they had the B horizon.
That's better if you
could. A horizon.
Yes. It's better if you could see it. It's better if you could see it.
Hmm.
Sea horizon
mm-hmm.
looks like chorizo. And then we went and we played on a giant controller Super Mario Brothers thing.
That wasn't there the last time we were there, was it?
It was not. No. I was spent the whole time. It's a big screen TV with Super Mario Brothers on it. And then in front of that, it's a giant old school NES controller on the ground that two people have to work together. So one person is stomping on the D-pad and one person stomping...
Sounds so dirty.
What it's called, Alice. It's the darn thing is called a D-pad. And the other person is stomping on the B and the A buttons. And you're working together to try to finish levels on a classic video game we've all played.
Nobody ever finishes. The buttons are insanely hard to push.
They were. It's yeah, some of them are not working correctly.
Calibrated.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of kids just stomp on them and break them.
They really do. But, I mean, in theory, it was great, and I still had fun with it.
Mm-hmm. It's like a giant piano, you know, just stomp, stomp, stomp.
Yes. So we left the St. Louis Science Center, eventually, and headed on over to Alice's highlight of the trip.
Yes!
Tell everybody about
it. The 21C in St. Louis. It's brand new. And if you haven't heard of 21C before, it's a whole series of boutique hotels that are also contemporary art museums. And they only have artists from the 21st century. So it's a lot of marginalized identities, different races, different mm-hmm, genders mm-hmm. and socioeconomic classes, and usually artists from that area, wherever this hotel is. So there's like a lot of them throughout the Midwest, like Louisville, Cincinnati, Chicago.
Nashville?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Lexington, Kansas City.
You've heard of cities.
Sure. So, and they all have like different colored penguins to represent them. So like, yeah, each one has a little penguin mascot.
Yeah, a little penguin mascot out front.
Yeah, and there's usually a like a specialty restaurant in the museum.
Oh yeah, hotel fancy
as well. Yeah, pretty fancy stuff. So I like to collect these hotel experiences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one in St. Louis, brand new, I think released last year or opened last year, mm-hmm. and it's built into a YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
So the original basketball courts are still there and like the track.
Well, the court is still there.
Oh, yeah. The nets aren't there anymore.
The goals are gone. And there wasn't a single basketball to be found.
Mm, that is upsetting.
I was very upset about that. But I really enjoyed being back on a basketball court. It felt nice.
Just walking and squeaking around.
Honestly, yes. It felt really nice to be back on a court.
Oh, that's nice.
It was a really good feeling.
Yeah. This has got to be my favorite 21C I've ever been to.
Yes.
Like, it's the largest I've ever seen. And they had this gorgeous floral wallpaper in the stairwell. And Josh and Jenny took some fancy photos there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of Jesus on that part, but it was kind of fun.
It was satire. Like at one point, there's like, you know.
Well, I assumed it was probably satire because like the Jesus part was on the floor, so you could just step on his face.
Yeah, there was like an American bald eagle too that you could step on.
No, I didn't see that part.
It's something about manifest destiny.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hitler and the 80 Years War and whatnot.
Yeah.
But get to the best part.
The best part!
Of 21C.
Yeah, so we had to go to the restroom. Yeah, and usually these hotels, you don't have to have a room. You can really just walk in and go to the museum area
anytime.
For free. 24/7, yeah. And I was like, yeah, they probably do have a public restroom here. Let's look around for it. So we're looking around. And we went down this hallway and we saw a sign that was all genders and accessible. And we thought it was just one room, one stall.
Mm-hmm,
so we looked
mm-hmm.
around a little more for bigger bathrooms. And we were like, oh, I guess there isn't one. So we opened this door and it's a giant bathroom, like a giant all genders accessible bathroom.
Yeah.
And we're like, what?
It was Narnia.
It feels
in there.
So Ally McBeal. Narnia. Yeah.
Ally McNarnia. We are Ally McNarnia. Yeah, it was super great. I do not like public restrooms. I would mm-hmm. use this restroom any day. I would still prefer to go at home, but. But it was my favorite restroom I've ever been in, ever, anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere.
Is it because of like self-consciousness over someone else hearing you pee? Or
I don't like to have something out in public.
Why did you tell me to go pee outside? You should know.
I'm doing bits. That's all I do on this show is bits. What do you want from me?
Oh, so you wouldn't actually go pee out in
no!
the woods? No. You've never peed in the woods?
Oh, sure, in the woods.
No.
But there's nobody around. I have to be somewhere where I know there's nobody around.
I see.
And then it's fine.
Isn't that kind of dangerous in the woods?
What are you talking about?
You go far into the woods enough, you're going to get lost.
No chipmunk's going to bite on my knob.
I'm saying you could get lost and die of starvation.
But if I'm already out there, I might as well pee. I'm not going to go out into the woods to pee.
Oh.
It's just if I'm already there.
Doing what? Murdering?
Hunting chipmunks. Pay attention.
Anyway, Doug doesn't like to use public restrooms, but this restroom, it had like several stalls that were super soundproof.
Yeah, they really were. It was just, how many stalls would you say were there? 8 to 10?
Yeah.
8 to 10 in this bathroom, and they're just head to their
floor to ceiling
stalls. And they're super nice looking.
Yeah,
like gorgeous wood.
Yeah,
you go in and it's like dimly lit. It's really nice.
Yeah.
And I was in a stall right next to Alice. Okay, so it's Alice and then me. And then I think there's one empty stall. And then Josh and then Jenny.
We were in a bathroom peeing with all our friends.
Yes, that's that was crazy. That was crazy. First time for me, for sure. But what I'm saying is we tried to talk to each other. And I could hear Alice.
And I was yelling.
But she was screaming. And it sounded like she was really far away. It sounded like she was so far away, and she could barely hear me, and I was yelling, and Josh could barely hear us. I heard a big Josh laugh once, that was it, and Jenny didn't hear any of us.
Right. Like, if Josh wasn't saying anything, yeah.
Could you imagine? Imagine this restroom. This is what restrooms need to be. I don't know how much they would cost. I don't know why this place had this restroom.
It's the 21C in St. Louis. It's sure. Just fancy as
fuck. It was
fuck.
Its own... It was its own art, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. All of the 21Cs have kind of unique bathrooms. But this one, yeah.
It was top notch. One of the highlights of the trip, for sure.
A freaking bathroom.
I said
right?
One of, but yeah, I mean, it was one of the highlights.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat.
But I mean, yeah, if we go back again in April, I'm going to, like, I was going to go by myself to this conference anyway, and I was going to go back to go to this restaurant. They do tapas there.
They do topless in the restaurant?
Now you're in, right?
Dang. Like the servers or the customers? Because I don't know if I want to go topless with everybody else. I feel weird.
Yeah, just go to your private bathroom.
This is why I don't want to go to the bathroom. Because I got to take my shirt off. And I pee strange.
I pee strangely. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, it's expensive. Yeah, so... I don't know if you'd want to go there.
I don't know if
I'd pay, but...
Oh, that's very nice of you. I don't know if I want to go to that restroom without at least 4 people. I don't know if we'd properly enjoy it.
True.
Unless we were at opposite ends of the stall line and like yelling to
just
see if we could hear each other.
Experimenting. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. We could drag some folks in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, y'all got to pee? How about now? What about you all? You want to meet us in the restroom? It's not for anything weird. In fact, I want you to stay in your own stall. I just want to talk.
Do you think there's some kind of olfactory technology in there as well that like makes your shit not stink?
Olfactory technology. We'll make your manure not smell like the sewer.
But would you go to the restaurant?
It's really expensive, and I'd feel bad about you paying for me. I'm a man and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's that I feel like a burden in those times.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I might just spend the time in the restroom.
The whole time while I'm eating.
Wait, listen, can I get some saltines? I'll make it some crackers, so I'll just go in the restroom. Yeah, and then when we got done there, on the way back, we stopped at Lion's Choice because Josh Weiland wanted us to get some Lion's Choice roast beef sandwiches. And they were pretty good.
Yeah, I thought they were okay.